You know, if there were only two happy moments in Jewish history, they would have to be, I think, the Exodus and the revelation on Mount Sinai. I mean, we are currently in this period between the Exodus and Sinai, and can you think of happier moments? I mean, the one is where God took us as his people from the Exodus, and the other is where God reveals that which changes all of history at Mount Sinai, bookends, separated by 50 days. Surely the happiest moments in all of Jewish history. And yet, connecting the two is this period called the Omer. And the Omer, which we count from the second night of Pesach, we need to do that tonight, until the holiday of Shavuot, is a time of mourning. It's sort of bizarre. The most joyous time you would think in Jewish life, and we count the days, and particularly the first 32 days of the Omer, up to Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, no music traditionally, no weddings, no haircuts, no celebrations, no parties. It's almost as though we were in a period of Shloshim, that period of mourning that follows Shiva. Indeed, the customs are very much the same. It reminds me of, you all know the Abba Ibn statement. Everybody remember Abba Ibn, the great Israeli statesman, who said the Jewish people are a people who can't take yes for an answer. Why would we subdue our natural rejoicing at such a time and treat life as though we were remembering pogroms instead of the revelation at Sinai? Tradition tells us that in the second century there was a plague among the students of Rabbi Akiba, the greatest of the sages of the second century, and that plague ended on the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer. Of course, you know, it feels a little forced, doesn't it? Because in traditional circles, you don't do anything joyous all the way up to Shavuot. If the plague ended, how come the mourning part of the Omer continues on except for the 33rd day? The Maharil in the 14th century in Germany said, well, it's not a matter of the plague that struck the students of Rabbi Akiba. Instead, the 33rd day of the Omer is the day on which the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon bar Yochai, who by tradition is said to have written the great Book of Splendor, the Zohar, that's the day, according to our tradition, that he emerged from his cave after years of being shut into the cave and revealed all the secrets of mysticism to his students. And it's such an important day, such an important day, that the mourning period of the Omer was ended for that one day to commemorate the great revelation of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Feels a little contrived to me. You know, I mean, it feels like to me, somehow, this was a period of mourning, and the rabbis were looking for an explanation, and they just stuck those two things on there. So what is there about this period between the Exodus and the revelation at Sinai that would require rituals of mourning? To my mind, that's the real question. Everybody remember W.C. Fields? Right? Who said that he wanted as his epitaph, all things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Fields joked, right, about his hometown of Philadelphia with his idea of, you know, it's close to death, but not quite as bad. The truth is, you know, death is kind of scary for us. And we don't like the thought, and so we joke about it a lot. I mean, it appears in a whole lot of jokes. But what death is a plumb line for us. It's a way to judge the rest of our lives. When we think about our mortality, we know that There's something very important going on here, and we best take it seriously. In the Siddur that we generally use on Friday night, the first meditation, everybody familiar with the first meditation prior to the Kaddish? One of my favorite lines in the whole prayer book. All things that seem foolish in the light of death are really foolish in and of themselves. All things that seem foolish in the light of our mortality really are foolish, regardless of whether you're thinking about your mortality. And then the High Holiday Machzor comes along and makes the point that if we live forever, it would be a terrible thing. All choices would be available to us. No one would make any choices. No one would need to produce that famous statement, mañana. Well, there would always be one. So why do anything today? We would have infinite time to experience everything and all things. And therefore, why do anything? Death, the fact of death, makes us choose and therefore establishes our priorities. In the light of our mortality, we get to bear witness to what is most meaningful about our lives. It's our mortality that makes us choose. The thought of the fact that this life comes to an end is really a barometer for living. So then I come back to the question, what does mourning during the Omer symbolize for us? What happened with the Exodus? Suddenly we were free. Free for what? Has anyone here ever experienced instant freedom? You remember those days when you had no responsibilities to anyone? You were accountable to no one? I don't think my dad remembers this quite the way I do, but my mother had a limit on desserts that we could eat. It seemed very reasonable. At the end of dinner, you could have a piece of pie if you had pie, a piece of cake if you had cake, four cookies if there were none of those, an Eskimo pie. Not all of those, one of those, right? I'm looking around. Apparently, you all grew up with my mom. She didn't insist on it. It was just, that was the way it was. You shouldn't have too many sweets. I'm in graduate school. I'm driving my own car down Hollywood Boulevard. I see the House of Pies. And I think, no one can tell me not to eat this. I am totally free. So I bought a pie and I ate it. Unabridged freedom leads to license. License leads to licentiousness. Licentiousness leads to sin. It's a slippery slope, greased by our insatiable appetites that normally we limit with rules, like my mother's voice in my head. But when we left Egypt, there were no rules. Here we are just out of Egypt. Pharaoh had made all the rules for us, and they were bad rules. They served him and not us. But at least we knew what the rules were. And we're headed towards Sinai, where God is going to give us rules, which have kept us alive as a people for the last 3,000 years. And in between, there are these 50 days. No rules. How do you know how to live? But there is one thing. That thing is the consciousness of ourselves. See, freedom without morality destroys life. Think about it. Utter freedom without morality destroys life. But when we consider how short are our lives, well, we're turned to ask the question, if I've only got this many days, how can I spend them most profitably? How might we decide how to live? Well, I suggest that we consider our mortality. At least in this sense, What is worthwhile for me to do today? If today is not replaceable, and it's not, what can I do today such that tomorrow I can look back on it and say, you know what? Time well spent. There's no worse sin than killing time. That's real murder. We need to decide how we're going to spend our time in a way that God would look at us and say, that's something to which I can say amen. So you know what I think? I think this is a time of joy. I think this period from Exodus to Revelation is just a wonderful time in the Jewish calendar. We go from freedom to revelation, two high points in Jewish life. And I think it's very smart that we remain very somber. For when we live with license between freedom and revelation, we can become our own worst enemies. Those of us who have teenagers know that's exactly what we're trying to prevent day after day, isn't it? They think they're free, and we know freedom without rules, very dangerous. If we will consider that work which we are to study between Pesach and Shavuot, Pirkei Avot, there appear these words, the time is short, the work is great, the master is urgent. It is not yours to complete the task, but neither are you free to refrain from it altogether. If we will consider that thought, if we will consider how short are our days, then we might just compose rules for ourselves and live by them. And later, when we get to Sinai and God, we will find that we have created the very same rules. For those are rules that we got at Sinai to make our lives most worthy of being lived.